A prophetic word is an encounter with God who knows your future. And that suddenly gives you a different weight to a prophetic word. Oh, that's an encounter. He knows my future. He's there. And he's saying, hey, Paul, this is what you look like. This is what you'll be doing. And this is the character you'll need to carry that word.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all around the nations of the earth to this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And the conversation today is going to fill you with so much hope to be able to live a lifestyle of authentic encounters that literally, supernaturally transform your life, shape your life, bring forth your destiny in fullness. My special guest joining me today is a loved and respected father to many around the nations of the earth and also organizations. He is known as somebody that raises world changers. He's an international speaker, he's an international best-selling author, and his new book, Divine Encounters, which I have been devouring, that he co-authored with Bill Johnson, is literally that. It's an invitation to all of us to be able to not just know that we can, but know how we can live in a lifestyle of supernatural encounters. Actually, we were created for it. So it is my joy and my honor to welcome into the conversation with me today, Paul Manwaring. Paul, welcome.
Thank you very much, Liz. Yeah, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I am very excited about this conversation, as you know, because I do think there is so much life and so much hope that is released from the book. So I wanted to begin, Paul, by asking you about the journey that Jesus took you on that birthed this book, and how there was something that I heard you say. You said that the Lord gave you a new lens to see the Bible through, where you actually started to see that the Bible is a library, quoting you, a library of encounters with ordinary people experiencing an extraordinary God that then shaped the rest of their life. And I just thought, that's profound. Okay, so can we start there? Will you tell us some of the story, some of your personal story and how this book happened?
I think the lens, I mean, that probably happened just a little way into writing, but I actually texted a genius friend of mine. She's ridiculously clever. And she often reads my stuff. And I said, is it arrogant to think that you could write something that changes the way that people view the Bible? And you know, that was really what I was asking. And what happened was that my journey took me, of course, to the road to Damascus, and just reading and rereading and rereading. And I realized that I couldn't read anything that Paul had written without going back to that moment on the road to Damascus. And then from there, it just began to occur to me that what we've done is that we've ended up making famous the characters of a book who all began as ordinary men and women who had an encounter with the living God. That encounter transformed them. And then, of course, they've become the famous men and women of our book. But really, the Bible is a library of encounters, whether we talk about Abraham or Moses or Gideon, you know, the 12 disciples or Mary. It's this library of encounters. And so what has really happened, and very particularly probably Moses, Peter and Paul, it is impossible for me to read anything they've written without just that moment of just reflecting back and going, how did they get this? Where did it start? And it kind of lights up the words that they wrote, because you go back to an ordinary guy who's looking after his father-in-law's sheep who meets a burning bush. So that was really that part of it. And I don't think I'll ever read it the same. I'm even, you know, you just read David and Goliath and think, okay, I can't read a psalm without going back to David left out in the field. So
Yeah.
That's what that bit is, anyway.
No, it's profound because it gives us all so much hope, doesn't it? You realize this is actually the way we were created to live. This is the Lord's intention for each one of us. It's not just for the super prophets, or whatever, the super spiritual. This is supposed to be our normal supernatural life. And now we have Holy Spirit inside of us. That's it, isn't it? He's a glance away. But it really impacted me when you were talking in the book about Paul, because obviously you've really majored on focusing and studying his life. And it really impacted me, like, that when we're reading Paul's letters, we're actually reading the biography of his relationship with Jesus. Like you say in the book, he doesn't write anything before he's experienced it. So it really is his biography, isn't it? Of
Yeah.
this is what I know to be real now and is available for all of us, which is super exciting and super empowering for all of us. It's like you said, normal, everyday people experiencing an extraordinary supernatural God that has a purpose for each one of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and it is that that almost trivial phrase at one level. He lived it before he wrote it. The tragedy is that we have people sitting in academia studying the words that they have no understanding of how to live them. And especially in our world today, where so much is being pulled apart to, just to reflect, the moment. I mean, for me, I've sat and thought, just like mused to myself. He had to explain to his disciples change of plan. He had to live that out. So the authority that he preached the rest of his life, the first place that he preached with that authority was the guys who were with him when he said, "I've just had a conversation with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus." He lived it before he ever wrote it.
Yeah, it's just stunning.
It surprised me too.
It blows me away because you actually think about who this is, who this person is, and his zeal. And I love as well, Paul, what you say about the impact of that encounter on his life. Will you unpack that a bit for us? Like, what actually happened to him? Everything for him was redirected by Jesus, not in 20 years of discipleship training, right? But it's like, what, 3 days? Dramatic, complete life change. And all that zeal was completely redirected into divine purpose. But will you go there? Because I just thought, well, that was a super helpful explanation of the impact of his life, what happened to him.
I mean, there's these, I guess, five or six things, really. I mean, there's no other way of looking at it. I think the tragedy is that most of our Bibles say the conversion of Saul, and it's such a limited, it's his completion, it's his absolute completion. And here is this man breathing murderous threats, the terrorist of the day, who is absolutely intent on his mission. Is studied, who is intelligent, who has people with him, and in one moment of a power encounter, his zeal, that incredible zeal, is completely repurposed. And he's the classic poacher turned gamekeeper, that everything that was invested against becomes invested for. I mean, I just muse over the his letters were rewritten. He was carrying letters, and he will one day write, "You are our letter." And he became the letter. His theology was completed. The man who'd studied Isaiah now met the one that Isaiah prophesied about and completed his theology. And I mean, his ministry is birthed. His natural power to arrest people is transformed into the supernatural. And here we have it, and it's summed up later in Acts when Paul gives his defense in front of the king. His defense is not, "I've planted churches, I've seen blind eyes." His defense is, "It was about noon. It was about noon, and everything changed." And so to me, it's this incredible truth that a life was completely transformed. The most impossible life was completely transformed in this encounter that I unpack and put a whole load of other words to. So I think that's how I sum it up. And that's a lot different from, poring over a couple of verses in Romans and reading them as a theological text. They need lighting up in the context of this is a murderer who meets the resurrected Jesus.
Yeah, and became the bridge, right? Became the bridge from the Old
Absolutely.
Testament into the New Testament in a way. You know, just he, because everything that he knew, everything that he'd studied his entire life, suddenly he met the Messiah, he met the truth, and everything, his whole life transformed, and everything was redeemed and given divine purpose. I love it. And it gives us hope for all of us, doesn't it? I mean, this is the plan, right? Do you believe that? It's like, we become the living epistles, every single one of us. That's the power of the gospel.
You imagine the conversation up in heaven almost, don't you? It's like, Jesus and Dad and Holy Spirit. You want me to do what? You want me to go down there to this guy? But he was the only one. He was the man so schooled in the old that no one but he could link the old to the new, and so opposed to the new that nobody could doubt that it was God. He's the one. There can be no one else who was in that place. It's and I love the I don't know whether you picked this up, but the Gamaliel thing in Acts chapter 5 has become a kind of personal principle where there's these I butcher them a bit, but the three things are, if it's God, God wins. If it's man, God overcomes. Just don't fight God. Was Saul on the road to Damascus? Did he have that in his head? If this is God, I mustn't fight him. That kind of boom that happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, so brilliant. I just love it. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to ask you to unpack for us, which I think is just brilliant and super helpful, is where you talk about our encounters, each one of us, as we're experiencing God in many ways, right, for all of us. That becomes our testimony, and then our prophecy, and then our weapon. And I'm like, come on, that's brilliant. That it gives a purpose to the encounter that's so clear, you know. And so when you reflect back on your own life and the profound moments where you know that the Lord's changed you in some way, he's invaded your life and he's changed you again, that becomes powerful, transformative experience for our life that sets the trajectory of our life again. So can you go there with that? Because I think that teaching is seriously important.
Yeah, it's something that I think I'd said before, but then it came alive in writing the book. So, and it's linked really to if our book is a holy library of encounters, and our encounters obviously become our testimony, the thing that we've witnessed or experienced that's happened in our life. So we now have a testimony, which we understand the power of the testimony so much more today. And then my testimony, Revelation 19, becomes my prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony, my encounter, now becomes a prophecy. And that prophecy, which Paul, of course, himself writes to Timothy and says, take the prophetic word and with it fight. And so we have this sequence, testimony. What God has done in my life now becomes this prophecy that God has wants it to be fulfilled. He wants it to be repeated. And then that awareness of the prophetic now becomes my weapon because I've got this. Like, I walked on the stage in Nuremberg in 2015 with a prophetic word, you're preaching stadiums. I honestly that day was fearless. I had no fear because I had my weapon. I had the word. And then my prophetic word then becomes my weapon. And then what am I fighting for? I'm fighting for my word. I'm fighting for the fulfillment of that. I'm fighting for the character to carry that word. But then if you go back to the Bible's a book of encounter stories, those characters didn't just fight for themselves, they fought for us. And as it were, they give it to us, and Paul gives it to us. So it runs right the way through. So a testimony, every testimony of my life is a prophecy. Every prophecy of my life is a weapon, and every weapon is given to me to fight that I have the character to carry the fulfilled prophecy. And once I've got that, I've now got something which we see in the life of Paul, because he's then able to write to Corinth and say, hey, these are the problems in Corinth, but these are the answers. And this is the journey that I've been on to get there. So yeah, I think it's kind of a, maybe it's a helpful way. And there's a little bit of a chart in the book, a sort of an encounter audit, which is linked to this, is to say, don't waste your encounters.
Yeah.
Just don't waste them. Don't let them just be a nice warm fuzzy on a carpet, you know, in the past, but let them be fuel for your future.
I think that's really profound, Paul, because a lot of us will, we don't intentionally engage into the purpose of the encounter, do we? We, you know, and the experiences will change us. We, you know, the nate for me, my experiences have the nature of Christ has expanded inside of me. But your book, it provoked me to sit down and reflect with the Lord on the life-changing moments where I've experienced him and ask him again, what was the purpose on that? What was your full intention? What was the desire in your heart to express you through my life? You
Yeah.
know, what was that? And so I think the reflection to become intentional, which is the invitation that you extend in the book, is really one of the invitations, is really, really important for all of us. So I was going to ask you there, you also unpack in the book the many ways we can experience Jesus. It's not always just the visitation like Paul had, you know, which amen, we all have that, you know, yay, Jesus. But there's many ways. This is not a difficult thing, and there's multiple ways the Lord will speak to us. So can we go there as well to just help people? Because I do encourage you guys, spend some time and reflect on the intentionality of Jesus. I mean, yes, he's enjoying us all, right? He's enjoying us all, and the relationship is primary, but there is divine purpose. I mean, he does want to be revealed to us and through us, doesn't he? He's intentional in all of his interactions with us. So, yeah, so I just thought that would be helpful for people if you can sort of just unpack that a bit for us.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it comes from a personal desire of mine that the Christian life is presented as accessible, achievable, attainable for everybody. That's one of my desires. And of course, it always needs to be mysterious and supernatural and require faith, but it's that. I think we can get into the familiarity of language without actually having the depth of understanding. And so, you know, you're referring, you know, I think I ended up with maybe 15 or 20, I can't remember the exact number, but ways in which we encounter God and the Holy Spirit. And I actually didn't really go into as many as I could have done. Dreams is a nice, simple place to start, because we all have them. And now we might not all remember them, we might not all write down the detail, but he instructs our mind in the night season. That's telling me that their encounters. And I tell the story of Benny Johnson having a dream about me that ultimately saved my life. So I'm going to have a high value for dreams. I'm going to believe that he speaks through dreams. And of course, the prophetic, which I kind of give this other line to, that a prophetic word is an encounter with God who knows your future. And that suddenly gives you a different weight to a prophetic word. Oh, that's an encounter. He knows my future. He's there, and he's saying, "Hey, Paul, this is what you look like. This is what you'll be doing, and this is the character you'll need to carry that word." And so to stop and just think, okay, prophetic words are actually are they are encounters. And another one that for me is really important is the still small voice. And I'll, you know, I quote Daniel Kalender, and I was, you know, in his school in 2012, and he said, in the age, and I'm pretty sure he said this, which I thought was funny, in the age of the noisy prophets, I think he says something like that, never forget the still small voice. And I wrote down my still small voice encounters, and I was shocked that they all had the same theme, and yet I'd never put them on the same page, but I'd quoted them all separately. And I think it's really important for us. And it's just one of those things that can cause us to pause. One of my favorites is to talk about, emotion, especially because, you can get around some of the more traditional church and you can almost hear, well, be careful, brother, about your emotions, you can't trust those. And yet, there on a wall in London is the plaque that says, here's the place where Wesley's heart was strangely warmed. And that strange emotional warming birthed a revival in our land, So who's going to argue with that? And so I think there, to even just stop and think, gosh, that God would touch my emotions in such a way that that would actually direct me or redirect me or empower me. Now, of course, there are theophanies and Christophanies, and I've got a blank on my page with those. He hasn't walked into my room yet, and I'm always going to believe for it. Other experiences of in the presence, those moments in the presence that are just encounters with him speaking. Nature for me is a stunning example. Sue and I were just out in, blessed to be in Kruger in South Africa, and it's just stunning just to be there and just to allow him through his creation just to speak, to encounter you. Of course, there are moments like healing, the healing encounter. Sue, my wife, was healed of infertility, quite a few years ago, and that was an encounter with the one who heals. And that particularly is one that is our testimony, that has become our prophecy and is our weapon, and we use it to fight not just for us but for other people. And we've seen a great breakthrough. And the list could go on. Of course, salvation is our original encounter. There is no Christianity without an encounter. I mean, that's kind of a comment probably worth making quite loud in case people think, oh, this is just for the crazy charismatics. No, there is no Christianity without an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. You are going to have to meet him. And, for me, it will forever be my favorite is to pick up the Bible. And I'm not kind of like the routine guy that has the right phrase every day, but there are many, many phrase times when I'll just, as I turn my hand, tea in one hand, grab my Bible, it's like, okay, I'm ready. Just what are you going to say to me today? What's fresh in here today? And it's staggering that, technically 8 billion people could read that Bible today, and everyone meet him in a different way. Here's something unique for them. And so that's really how I approached it. I just wanted to approach it, the whole theme of encounters, as saying these must be accessible, available, achievable, attainable. And I have one. I don't know whether I mentioned it on the podcast. God gave me one name in the Bible. I read it about 3 years ago. I had an initial interpretation, and about 3 months ago, I realized why he'd given me that name. And it's just quite funny, really, just the way that God just spoke to me in that way was highlighted. So yeah, available for all. Encounters are available for them, for all of us.
Do you know, I can feel coming off you while you're speaking, Paul, the really high value you have for the presence of Jesus. Like, that every interaction with you, it's like the way that I'm experiencing you in the spirit right now is your whole spirit is towards him all the time, just in expectation for experience with him. And it's I think it's really, really important, isn't it? If we realize he's available, we just have to tune our awareness into how he's interacting with us, become more conscious. And with that desire, it's a gift, isn't it, that we desire to engage with him. And I love what you said, how prophecy, people experience being known by Jesus, people experience his love through that prophetic word, that they are known by him. He sees the detail of our lives. And I think that is the gift of prophecy, isn't it? That's the gift of words of knowledge, when they should bring us into a deeper experience with the love of our King, with the reality that we are known by him. We are massively important to him. And he's speaking to us in all these ways, wanting to communicate with us all the time. And I think We can so easily desensitize, can't we, and just get wrung out with the pressure of life and distracted with, the important cares of the world. I'm certainly not undermining that in any way. Life can be difficult for many of us and is periodically. But in the midst of it, he wants us to know him intimately. And I also love the fact that you talked about the dream that Benny had, that saved your life. I mean, that's how important it is for us to tune in. Can I just ask you to tell what happened?
Well, I walked into church October 2007. I walked through the side door with Benny. And Benny said, "I had a dream about you last night." And she said, "In the dream, we were one side of the river, and on the other side was the holy city of Jerusalem. And all the family of Bethel were on the other side, and except for you and I. And you thought you could jump across the river, and you ran and jumped. And you didn't make it, and you fell into the river, and there were sort of bubbles coming up as if you died. And then when you came up, and this is the only odd part, is oh, that's right, you then dived in and you rescued yourself in the river. And the person you rescued was the image of Harry Potter, which is just a weird part. But it was this idea that I dived in and saved myself. And it was about 2:30 in the middle of the night. I was in I'd had my prostate cancer surgery. They'd started to get very concerned about my heart, and something was going wrong. And so I was on a monitor and on a drip, and I kind of woken up. There was this beep going off every 8 minutes. And I said to them, "What's the matter?" And I'm an ex-nurse, so when they said, "We've tested your cardiac enzymes," I knew they thought I'd had a heart attack. And but then they said, "But we can't find anything." And I just said, "Holy Spirit!" And I just had this awareness of the dream, and it was just as simple as that. I was just remembered. It's like, "Oh, Benny had a dream, and I saved my life." And I was sort of like a little bit semi-conscious almost. And I just said, "Give me the wisdom." And I saw in my mind's eye an old-fashioned, before you were around, Coca-Cola can where you had to pierce the top of it with a spiked can opener. And I saw that, and you have to do it twice. And I knew that my catheter bag was blocked, and I knew that it was backing up to my kidneys, causing my blood pressure. And I called the nurse over and I said, "Change that bag and I'll be okay." And I siphoned my own bag, and in 15 minutes my blood pressure was back to normal. And I know that it was because I remembered a dream that I would save my own life, that I was able to do that. And there was nothing, and I was fine.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
They kind of argued with me. They didn't, they did
Oh.
argue. They said, "Oh no, those bags don't have vents." I said, "Oh yeah, they do." So anyway, I actually, in my drawer out there, I have old Coca-Cola can bottle openers and can openers. I mean, you never use them, but they're just there just as a reminder.
It. But isn't that profound? I mean, that's how much in the detail of your life Jesus is, and how much he's protecting you and taking care of you. It's just so much hope. I mean, there's so many other directions I want to go in talking to you, Paul. I could talk to you for another hour at least. But I wanted to ask you, would you pray for people? Because honestly, I can feel this. The Lord's going to reset our expectations today through all that you're sharing and all that you are and all that you live. I can feel this, guys. Just be encouraged. Open. If this is you, receive this now. I really feel people are going to be reset into an expectation of encounters, of being able to just having that faith igniting inside of all of us that this is to be our normal supernatural experience. This is our privilege now, and it's the desire of the Lord's heart. And you're living it, and you're passionate about it, Paul. And it's honestly coming off you. So, can I ask you to pray?
Well, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you gave me this book, you gave me this journey, this experience, and you opened my eyes to something. And I thank you. And I know you only gave it for one reason, to give it away. And I pray and declare that we would be an encounter generation, and that in all of the stuff that's going on, all of the the lies, the fake stuff, the tearing things down, that you would raise up an encounter generation of men and women who have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus through prophecy, dreams, the word of God, through you walking in the room, through other people. May we be an encounter generation. So, Father, I release that now, permission to pursue encounters, to be hungry for encounters, to not waste our previous encounters, but may we truly be like Saul, who became Paul, an encounter generation. He had an encounter, and he knew that from that moment on, he didn't come with clever words, but a demonstration of power. The same power that caused him to hit the ground became the power that propelled him through the rest of his life. So, Father, in the midst of these days, when there is so much protest going on, so much criticism, so much being torn down, I ask for a release of fresh encounters so that we would become a demonstration generation who would demonstrate your love, demonstrate your power, demonstrate your purpose, and demonstrate your absolute passion for each one of us. For you are the one, the God so loved. It's the depth that whosoever, it's the breadth, it's who you are. Would you encounter us in our depth, and would you encounter the world in your breadth so that the world may know that you are a God who wants to meet with us, to know us, and be known by us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. We agree. We agree. Your life going forward from here will be a continual experience of the love of Jesus and of who he is, that you can reveal the one that you know increasingly. Ugh, that's our privilege now. Amen. Paul, thank you. Thank you for all that you are doing for the body of Christ, raising us all up around the world into being world changers through knowing him, your intimacy, and for writing this really seriously important book and being with us today. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Yeah, I'm enjoying getting to know you. It's fun.
It really is. I love it. Yeah, same passion. Absolutely same passion. As you guys all know, encounters is my very favorite subject. But have the most amazing week, guys, experiencing Jesus in ways that you've not known him before. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Experiencing the love of God every day is life transforming. And that is exactly what you are going to experience as you participate in the journey of my new devotional. It's called Experiencing God's Love Every Day. That's exactly what will happen to you. So if you need this for your life, whether you want to reset your life every morning by experiencing God's love again, or you need to do that throughout the course of your day, jump onto lizwright.org, sign up today, and you will receive every single day a fresh devotional audio and you can read written, and it will transform your life.